Hi, I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
So we're back. We've recovered from BravoCon.
Finally.
I'm tired still a little bit.
I'm still tired. I feel like after Thanksgiving is over, I'll be fully rested and ready to go.
Well, I don't know. Isn't like the whole thing about Thanksgiving, though, is like you get so tired after you eat your meal and then everybody has to take a nap. And
that's true.
But then I guess Black Friday, everybody, we're ready to go again because we got to get those sales.
Okay, I'm staying home.
I mean, it's 2019. We have Cyber Monday now.
Yeah, that's more my jam.
I'm waiting around for that.
Tired as we may be, we're still excited to talk about some shows
mm-hmm.
because we have Real Housewives of Orange County, Real Housewives of New Jersey, and Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Unfortunately, Real Housewives of Dallas is dark this week.
Yeah, but I still feel like maybe we should mention like a little bit what happened last week.
I feel like there's something to talk about there.
Yeah. And then we have interviews with Melissa Gorga and Jackie Goldschneider, both from Real Housewives of New Jersey.
And of course, we'll wrap up with Rose and Thorne. Okay, Real Housewives of New Jersey.
Jamaica.
We're going on a trip. Jennifer's riding around on this like scooter luggage situation.
Right.
Which yelling. Embarrasses me.
I'm so embarrassed. My vagina hurts.
It's like if one of her children had that, I'd be like, okay, that's a way to keep kids entertained, but keep them moving through the airport. But
I think it's also that it's her, right? Like she's someone who just always wants the focus on her.
Right.
I have to say, I kind of agreed with Teresa in this episode. Margaret was a little naggy this episode.
We got Margaret drinking for the first time.
That part was great. But it's the complaining that the room is too far away, that, you know, she doesn't like. Well, basically your complaint that Jennifer's riding around on her luggage, just everything she sort of had a comment about and was like, come on, Margaret, be fun.
Do you think it's because it is Jennifer's trip?
Yeah.
Right. But either way, I'm glad Margaret's there. She's drinking. But to your point about Margaret kind of walking a fine line in this episode, she makes a little comment about 21-year-old aged alcohol. And ties it back to Teresa.
This is the last one. The 21.
Oh, my God. I'm going to try it.
She likes a minimum age of 21, Teresa. She doesn't like jail bait.
Yeah.
Is that appropriate given the rumors?
See, at first, I really didn't think she meant it like that. But then the fact that even Melissa was like, she definitely meant it like that. I was like, oh, okay.
Well, and I wondered, too, if just the way she said it came across worse than she meant it. Only because she had been drinking, which a couple sips of some aged rum for someone like Margaret who doesn't drink often, that might affect you a little bit more than you expect. So maybe she tried to be a little bit more funny and like cheeky about it, and it just like rolled off the tongue the wrong way.
I just got an alert that you liked a tweet. Are you tweeting while we're recording?
No. Was someone liking tweets from my account? Have I been hacked?
Recklessnesses. Tweet.
This is how you know you've made it, is if your Twitter gets hacked. I didn't like that. I didn't even like that tweet. It's not showing up in my likes.
We'll look into it.
Another thing that made me kind of uncomfortable in this episode was the conversations around Jackie's eating habits.
Mm.
And the fact that she was ignoring snacks, that she was saying no to this, no to that, wasn't really hungry, blah, blah, blah. And what's really crazy, and you guys will hear it later on in our interview with her, is that she didn't know those conversations were happening until I revealed it during the interview.
I've been eating all day.
Have you?
I haven't stopped, like pretzels and granola bars and like snacks.
I didn't notice.
I also think it's kind of shitty on their part just because, and look, a lot of this I feel like I've learned from Jules Weinstein's time on Real Housewives of New York,
mm-hmm.
where she's like, look, I'm never going to be recovered. I am always going to have issues with food. And so the fact that people are kind of picking at that, like, is not okay.
Definitely. And you guys will hear that too. Like, Jackie mentions it during the interview that she does always feel like there's a bit of a hyper focus on her eating because people are aware of her past, and it is something that she carries into the present and will have into the future because it is always something you're going to struggle with. But it was kind of crazy to find out or watch Jackie find out that she didn't know about these conversations. So I'm curious to know what she's going to think about it.
Yeah. There were two things in this episode that I didn't like.
Okay.
One was how much Jennifer's kids hate being outside when they were at Jackie's kid's birthday party.
Right. Well, again,
like a rude amount.
Well, and to going back to last season, the idea of being spoiled, whatever, like I think what Jackie was trying to say is that the setup of their lives caters to them in a certain way. So when you have a basketball court in your home, that's going to change the way your kids think about playing outside.
Right.
Because they're like, what's the point?
Yeah. And then the fact that we saw Joe Gorga's jizz.
Did we see it?
Yes.
Oh, well, I guess in the little. Well, there's a bit that they didn't show also in this episode, which I talked to Melissa about this too in the interview that's coming up later about like the old DVDs that he was like flipping. I was like, they should give him gloves, first of all, to touch that.
I know.
And the fact that the cameras were in the room with him as he was like preparing.
I just like, what do you think that room smells like?
I hope that they sanitize it after every use. Like, I assume it's a doctor's office. Everything is sterile there, right? So hopefully. But I think they don't show it in the episode, but he has a bit of trouble with the DVDs, and it turns out Melissa had to go give him some help.
Oh, they don't show that?
No, they don't. I don't think the like 90s, early 2000s era porn was doing it for him. Last thought, Dolores' situation with David comes up, and I don't think she is being as honest with the ladies in that moment as she presents herself to be.
Right.
Because she's sort of like, oh no, I'm not worried about getting engaged. It's none of that. But we've heard her talk about it a little bit already this season.
Yeah.
And it seems like that is what she's working towards with him.
She's definitely playing the cool girl role.
Yes.
Like, oh, like whenever he feels like it. No, right. It's cool he doesn't show up to things. He works, you know.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
It's that tough exterior. It's that Dolores Catania that we've all grown to love, but you can tell somewhere in there, you know, she kind of just wants to settle down and have a life with David. So I got the chance to interview Real Housewives of New Jersey's Melissa Gorga, and she talked about her fabulous 40th birthday party, including how she knows Miss Ramona Singer, what really happened behind the scenes at that fertility clinic, and her reaction to Margaret's comments towards Teresa during the rum tasting in Jamaica. So let's take a listen. Guys, we are here with Melissa Gorga from Real Housewives of New Jersey. Hey, Melissa.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Good. I'm in these Bravo offices up in here.
I know. Well, thank you for coming.
Welcome.
Well, happy belated birthday, because we just saw you celebrate your 40th.
Oh, why do you have to say it so loud? Well, I was 39 like 6 months ago. So.
Well, it was right before your birthday, I think, that you were here last time, and I said 40. And
yes.
You were like, oh, God.
I know, but it is just a number. I have to be honest. I think the number itself freaks me out than what I feel like or
right.
What I, like, I love myself more now than I ever did, and I'm more confident now, and I really do love everything that comes with, like, entering your 40s.
Yeah.
I just don't like the number. Like, they need to get rid of numbers. There's no reason for numbers.
Should we just skip to 50, though? Like,
oh,
what
no,
do we
no, no,
do?
We're not going to do that either. No. That's not the solution either.
Okay, fine.
But, I mean, they say numbers are just numbers, so I'm going to go with that.
Well, I think what you said the weirdest part for you of turning 40 was more so, like, your kids getting older and those relationships kind of changing.
Yes.
So what is that like?
Yeah, they're just so independent now. And they're so, like, you know, with the attitudes, and they're turning into, like, middle school and high school. I mean, my little one's still good, but the two other ones are just, like, they don't need me as much anymore. Everybody's independent. And I'm like, doesn't anybody want mommy? And it makes you feel young when you're, like, burping and changing and running around and at the preschool. And I'm like, I think I need another child because, like, you're all leaving me now. And so I need another one. So that was a whole nother thing that we have gone through this season.
Of course. Yeah, we've seen some of that. So where are you guys in that particular journey in terms of growing the family?
You're going to have to wait and see what happens with that completely.
Okay.
But we really, really went pretty deep into trying to figure out if it's the right decision or not for us.
Yeah, we went pretty deep into that room with Joe, too.
Oh,
when it was like,
my
I was
God.
Like, oh, the cameras are still in there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they needed his sperm.
Right.
Because they had to get his sperm count. And of course, you know, they put him in this like 4x4 room with a bunch of porn from the 70s
like
and it was
DVDs.
Rolling on like VHS tapes and like these magazines from the 70s. And he was like, it's not working. Call my wife.
Yeah.
And I was like, did the walk of shame. I mean, I did literally the walk of shame. But, you know, I'll do anything for a baby. So.
Right. I mean, I wouldn't want to touch any of the things in that room either.
Was thinking. Right? Yeah. I was like, now, does this get sanitized when we leave it? Like, I'm confused.
Someone wipe this down.
Yes. And it's weird because it's a medical thing. So it's like, I'm not feeling this right now. It's kind of like, it's almost like when people are trying to make a baby and it's like not sexual or passionate at all. It's right. Like, hurry up, I need your sperm. Like,
yeah.
So yeah, that whole thing comes about. Unfortunately, we are mic'd and yes.
Yes.
Anyway, I try not to speak as much as possible.
Right. I don't blame you 1 second. I want to talk about your birthday. So Ramona Singer shows up.
Yes.
I love a crossover.
Yes.
So you are friends with Ramona. How did you guys meet?
Ramona and I did lip sync battle together.
Oh, yes.
And I've met her before that. And she, I know like a lot of people say like, oh my God, Ramona's so difficult. Or Ramona is, you know, difficult. And I have never seen her that. She has never given me a side eye. She always wants to be with me. She calls me. She keeps in touch with me. I love her.
She's a very social person.
She's a social butterfly. Yeah. And I know that she's kind of, you know, she picks and chooses who she likes to be around. And I just happen to be one of them.
Yeah. Were there any other ladies from Roni at your birthday?
From New York?
Yeah.
No. No. Okay. Just
Ramona.
Yeah. Dorinda was invited. Uh-huh. But I think she was out of town.
Were you shocked that there wasn't like really any drama?
Jill Zarin came. Did she?
Oh, Jill.
Or maybe not. Maybe? I can't remember.
Were you surprised that there was really no drama at your birthday? Like,
I think I laid the law down pretty heavily. Yeah. And when Melissa Gorga throws a party, like I really throw a party. I'm known for it, whether the cameras are rolling or not. Like if you're coming to one of my parties, it's going to be like top of the line. I don't cut any, and it's fun and it's wild. And it's like, you almost couldn't fight if you wanted to, because you're like, I throw a banger.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it was a great party.
And I always say like the hostess sets the tone. And I really do. Like when you walk in, it's like we're partying. Whatever you're annoyed about, like leave it at home. Mm-hmm. And it just, the vibe is there.
Yeah. Well, no, I thought it was great. So then we see you guys head to Jamaica right after that. So how was the Jamaica trip?
So Jamaica, oh my God, housewives on vacation. It's never a good mix. I think that we tried to go out there and have fun. We were a little divided. Mm-hmm. Teresa and Dolores decided that like, Teresa, Dolores, Jennifer, and I were going to stay on one end, and Jackie and Margaret were going to stay in another room on another end of the hotel.
Right.
Which is like, we're dividing from the second we get there, which is, I didn't think, a good formula for the way this whole trip was going to go. And there was a lot of drama.
Yeah. Were you embarrassed by Jennifer's scooter suitcase thing?
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah. Jennifer has this like childish persona about her, and it's like you almost don't want to like give her an attitude because you feel like you're being mean to a child.
Yeah,
but yet Jennifer brings it back to like 14 all right. the time, so it's like very hard for me to balance because I'm like, I don't want to be mean to her, but at the same time you're annoying the shit out of me, so I'm like all over the place with Jennifer.
Well, yeah, so going into this season, we know last season you guys had, you know, your tiffs. What was your relationship with Jennifer going into this season?
I think I'm always like a little skeptical of her. I'm very big as a friend on trust. And she's just someone that I don't think I would like trust. You know, like if you're having that girls' night and you're having a combo, like I don't know that the combo's not going to leave that table.
Right.
So it's like I need a more of a solid, like level-headed, I need to like battle you with words. And like, and I just can't do that with her.
Yeah. Well, in terms of the trust, she basically throws Dolores under the bus at dinner in Jamaica because she tells Jackie that Dolores doesn't consider her a friend.
Right.
What did you think about that?
Yeah, and that was really, Jackie was really insulted. She really was. She took it hard, and it came off very like rude, and it came off very like, it was almost like we're signaling out Jackie that she's different from the rest of us.
Right.
Which I didn't like. I never liked that. And I happen to really like Jackie, and I feel like she's very similar to me.
Yeah.
So, and it just goes from there.
Right.
It goes from there.
You guys also did a rum tasting, and we saw Margaret drink for like the first time ever. Right?
And she's friends with me. And so like, you know me, I'm like a party girl. I love to have a cocktail. And like, I've been trying to talk Margaret into cocktails since I've met her. And like, here we go. She decides to take a sip and she comes out with something very stupid.
Yeah. So I want to talk about that. So Teresa, I think we all expected her to like blow up in that moment, but she kind of like took a second, didn't really react. Do you think Margaret meant something by it, or was it innocent?
I think that Margaret was kind of just being quick on her tongue, and it kind of just fell right in her lap with a, oh, I don't like this age, I like that age, and this age, and all the press just came out with Teresa with this younger guy, so it was just, it just fell right into Margaret's lap, and, you know, I think she didn't even realize she was saying it until after she said it, she was like, oops.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, I think she just didn't really mean it, but
Margaret's quick with her tongue, so.
Yeah, well, and I think we see a little bit more tension in the preview for coming up in Jamaica. There's also like a sign, and Teresa's like, oh, look, this is about me, because it says something about a body 21 and over.
Yeah, so she was like playing with it too. So, like, Teresa, it depends when Teresa's in the mood to get mad about something and when she's not.
Right, right. Where are you in your relationship with Danielle Staub? Because we've seen her at the obstacle course so far, but then she's kind of hasn't been around much.
Right. She just causes all the drama. She really does. She comes in there and stirs the pot so much, but sometimes it's on a level of like, we don't even want to be around you level. So it's like, it's all good and fun when you're like opinionated and you have shit to say, but like, she brings it to a level where we're like, yeah, we're scared. Like, we don't even know that we want you around, because when you play it little, when we feel dirty and it gets too dirty, it's when we draw the line.
Well, and at this point in the season, it's kind of like Teresa is the only one who is still coming to her defense. And that was a big thing last season, too. You were just like, I don't understand why.
I didn't get, like, the sister bond from, we went from table flipping to prostitution whore to, like, we're besties and anything she does is right. And it's like, I was just confused. And I just feel like Danielle decided, like, I am going to just, like, lick Teresa's legs all the way through this until she's right and the most beautiful girl in the world and, like, all these things where she had Teresa wrapped around her little finger. And, like, Teresa was like, all right, I'm going to back you up because you're backing me up. And they kind of made this little, like, I'm going to stick together and back you up bond. And I would look at Teresa and be like, she's dead wrong. Like, you just saw what she did, right? And Teresa's like, yeah, no, I don't know. Like, I'm like, no, you know. Right. She's dead wrong.
Yeah. Like, it's pretty black and white, I feel like, with Danielle, but Teresa sees a lot of gray for some reason.
She sees all the gray, and it like, took me a while to get through to her, but eventually I might get through to her.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah.
You guys just shot the after show, so how did that go? Was there any drama?
No, because we split up into groups, so there wasn't too much drama. We do give you, I mean, it was funny, I have to say. I was with Jackie and Margaret, and we talk about oral sex, and it's, like, ridiculous.
How did that come up?
Oh, my God, because Jackie says on one of the episodes...
Oh, that's right.
Yes. She doesn't like it. She doesn't give it. Her husband doesn't do it.
Jewish girls don't give blowjobs.
Well, she also says her husband doesn't do that to her. She doesn't like it. Also, she doesn't want it. He doesn't want to get out. Like, it's an absolute no in the house. And I'm like, huh?
That's really interesting.
Like, okay, most people wouldn't agree with this, but okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was like a whole, and Margaret throws in like, well, if he's not, you know, doing this, he's out. And I'm like, okay, this is going like, we're going to the X-rated files here.
Did you tell your husband about that? Because I feel like he would be like, what?
Yeah, he like laughs at it. And I was like, Evan obviously doesn't know what he's doing. That's the problem.
Very interesting. That's a digital exclusive here.
Here you go.
Well, Thanksgiving is just around the corner. What do you guys do for Thanksgiving? Are there any traditions your family has? Like, what's going to happen this year?
Thanksgiving, we kind of divide up holidays. Like, everyone, my sisters and I and Teresa, we all, like, take a holiday. Mm-hmm. So mine's always been Christmas Eve. My sister's is Thanksgiving. So I kind of love that because it's, like, when the heavy cooking.
Yeah.
I was like, definitely not Thanksgiving. I never want Thanksgiving because you can't really order for Thanksgiving. Like, Christmas Eve, you can get some trays. You can get away with, like, certain things.
Right.
You cannot order the turkey. I mean, that's horrible. So I refuse to do Thanksgiving.
I don't blame you at all.
Yeah.
So this year, anything exciting happening for Thanksgiving?
No, pretty traditional. You know, with all the running around and the premiere and all of this press and everything, I've been really busy lately. Like, that, I'm really excited about having, like, that Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday to, like, veg out and sweat and eat and overeat and do nothing. Like, that truly is, like, my blocked out piece of November that I don't want to get on social media. I want to be, like, from Thursday to Sunday free.
Yeah.
You know?
Before we wrap up, I want to ask about Teresa is in Italy. Have you spoken to her at all?
Not today. No, I believe she's in transit and over there. I'm very excited for her, though, because I feel like it's a long-awaited, like, reunion with Joe and his children and her, and especially him and her. I don't know if they know each other anymore.
Right.
They're a little off right now, and they need to really get in front of each other and see if there's anything there.
I know.
And I feel like until you're really in front of someone, there's been a lot of hard feelings, a lot of, you know, you got to look at each other in the eyes and say, do I still have that spark? Do I still want you? Am I too mad at you to ever forgive you? And, you know, or vice versa. So yeah. I feel like she'll probably get a lot of answers, which is, I'm happy for them. Yeah. And I'm so happy that the girls get to like hug their dad. They die for him. It I is know. The cutest thing.
Yeah.
All of his daughters die for him.
Well, even just watching this season too, like the scenes of all of them together talking about what they're going through and talking about what he's going through. Like, it's very emotional, it even is. For the audience. I can't imagine what they're going through.
Oh, you have no idea. It's so sad. He really was. It was rough for him.
Yeah.
I mean, he did his time, this man. I mean, he really has. He did not get off easy in any which way. He went to that ICE facility. It was no picnic. So he's definitely done wrong and been punished.
Right.
And he's done now.
What do you think of his new look? I mean,
I like it. This buff new look. I saw him on Instagram yesterday, like trying on skinny jeans. He has an Instagram. I was hysterical because, like, while he was away for the last 4 years, skinny jeans on men came in.
Right.
And he's not used to that. He's still used to those baggy bottoms. So he was trying them on. I was dying because it was like me. It reminded me of me putting him on Joe for the first time. Yeah. Joe, like, they're on my balls. They're so tight. My legs look little. This is weird. And so Joe Giudice has to get into the skinny jean mode, and I thought that was really funny.
Yeah, I think Dolores tried to get Frank into some skinny jeans recently, he was just like, they won't fit over my ankles. Like, I can't even, like, he's such a big guy.
I would love to see him try to wear a skinny jean. That's funny.
Well, thank you so much, Melissa, for coming
You're
in.
Welcome.
We appreciate it.
No problem.
Real Housewives of Atlanta. The Pride Parade. How meta was that?
It was pretty cool because there was so much conversation here about our float.
Yeah, the Bravo Pride Parade. What a
big
float.
Yeah, what a big deal it was. We were going to be there. So many people marched alongside.
And I really didn't think they were going to film it because I thought, like, oh, that'll be too weird. Because on our shows, it's not like we really call out that these people are Bravo celebrities. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, you're not seeing fans come up to them and saying, oh my God, I love you. But I'm sure that happens while filming takes place.
Totally.
So it was kind of interesting to get this perspective of them in their element with other Bravo celebrities. Because we got, like, Leanne, yeah. Margaret, Andy.
Kelly Dodd. Yeah. A ton of people. Yeah, it was a little kind of breaking the fourth wall, in a sense.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm glad they put the two of them on that float. Because I expected that situation to potentially escalate, but I think given the circumstances and, you know, Nene's support of the LGBTQ community, Cynthia being up there with Noelle, like, I think they were, you know, putting their bullshit behind them. But, you know, you put all of those housewives on one thing in the hot sun and give them alcohol, you never know how that's gonna go.
True.
While in New York, Cynthia goes out to dinner with Eva, does not tell Eva that Marlo is coming.
Okay, like, that was not great form. However, I couldn't believe that Eva wouldn't have a meal with Marlo and instead took her food to go and ate downstairs at the bar.
She did leave behind a little bit of duck per Marlo's request.
Okay, so that was pretty big of her.
Right?
Hi, divas.
I'm gonna pack my little piece up.
How you doing?
Fine.
Oh.
What, you are walking out now, Eva? You can stay. You don't have to run.
Dog, can we pack this and that up?
I want a piece of that duck.
Leave her some duck on that plate.
Okay.
That's just so crazy.
I mean, to get the food to go and then just to go down to the bar at the next level was a little bit like, okay.
Yeah. Like, you should have just left. Sit at the table and just don't talk, you know?
Right.
Don't engage.
Well, we learned later on, too, that Marlo didn't know that Eva was going to be there, but it seems like Marlo felt less of a type of way.
Oh, yeah.
And was just sort of like, I didn't really expect her. I didn't know we were still fighting like that. I didn't realize Eva was still kind of salty to me.
Right. What did you think about the Kenya stuff?
I felt really, really bad for her. I mean, even in the episode that we didn't get to talk about last week with Mark there and the way he just seemed to really disregard everything Kenya was saying, it seemed like Kenya was just talking at him and not with him. Like, he was very focused on Brooklyn, which, of course, like, if you're coming back and forth from New York to Atlanta and you're there with your daughter, you want to spend time with her. But to Kenya's point that they're kind of neglecting their relationship in this whole situation was very obvious last week. And then seeing her get so upset with Candy this week, It's triggering a lot of her past and the things with her mother and what she's gone through. And I really do feel bad for her.
I guess my whole thing is, And maybe I'm being hard on Kenya, but I just feel like she took time away from the show. I wanted her to come back fully showing everything that's happening in her life. And I feel like I don't have a clear idea of what's wrong in her marriage.
Mm-hmm.
What, that he is nitpicky about the way she parents? He didn't go on vacation with her and his daughter. There has to be a bigger reason for that.
Right.
You know?
Well, there's, number one, the physical divide of the two of them not living together.
But you can fix that.
I think from what she tells Candy and everything that she's been saying, it seems a lot like there's no compromise from Mark, but perhaps there's also not a lot of compromise from Kenya.
Right. We're really only getting her perspective.
Exactly. So I think there is work to be done. But as we already know, the two of them are getting a divorce. So we're kind of seeing at this point the beginnings of the demise of their relationship. I can only imagine at this point now co-parenting with him here and her in Atlanta, that's going to be a challenge. So as much as their marriage isn't working out, they still have to have some kind of a relationship where compromise is going to be a component of that.
Right. And look, maybe we will get more info later, like as the season progresses. I feel a little in the dark.
There's definitely moments that I remember from the super tease of Mark, like reacting more to whatever's happening between them. So I think we're going to see more about that and get a little bit of a clearer view on what's going on between them. What we have to also mention, we're watching Candy and Todd go through the surrogacy process on the show, but over the weekend, they had the baby.
Blaze.
Little baby Blaze. And then we actually saw on this episode where they ask Ace what he thinks the baby's name should be, and he answers Blaze. So was that just like Ace like threw it out there one day?
Oh, right.
Did he just like mention it once and Candy and Todd were like, you know what? I like that.
Ace, I want to know, do you have a name for the baby?
I like Blaze.
Oh, I liked your name.
She already has an Instagram.
That does not surprise me.
I need to give it a follow. One other thing that I thought was actually funny about Kenya and Candy's conversation, and this was the first the first part of the episode when they were together earlier on, but Kenya calls Candy's marriage new like mine.
Candy has a very successful marriage, even though it's new like mine, but somehow she's making it work.
And I was like, well, I don't know if it's quite new, because Candy and Todd got married in 2014, and then they had Ace, and now they've had Ace for kind of a while now.
That's like 6 years.
That's like a full 5 or 6 years ago almost.
That's not new.
Kenya and Mark got married in 2017, and Brooklyn just turned one. So it's not really a new marriage, I don't think. Like, at what point do you stop calling it a new marriage? Like, one full year in, it's like, that's it.
Yeah, you're not newlyweds.
It's not new anymore. There's no more celebrating, you guys, except for the anniversaries. And that's just the two of you celebrating.
Right.
I have to point out, next week, we are getting that bitch, Yovana. I cannot wait.
Well, I hope we get more Tanya soon, because, like, where is she?
I know. She only had that one little meal with Portia, and I just need her smile back in my life. I also interviewed Jackie Goldschneider from Real Housewives of New Jersey. She talked about Jennifer's reaction towards the birthday party she planned for her son, the wives being concerned about her eating habits in Jamaica, and the fan reaction after publishing her gender disappointment article in Good Housekeeping. Plus, she reveals the current status of her friendship with Dolores. Here's that interview. Guys, we're here with Jackie Goldschneider from Real Housewives of New Jersey. Hey, Jackie.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good.
Season two for you.
I know. So exciting, and I cannot believe it.
I know. So what was it like going into this season? Where was your head at?
It was different. It was like I already had a history with the cast members, so I had relationships with them already. I felt more confident. I felt like it was easier for me to stand up for myself, to stand my ground. Where was my head at? Well, we were coming off reunion, and we were coming off something off season that happened that was really uncomfortable for me. So we had some beefs going right in, and also my friendships with Margaret and Melissa had really strengthened by the time we started filming again. So there were real friendships, real drama, real everything. So it was, you know, I went in with a bang.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, at the beginning of the season two, we see there is this video mm-hmm. that Teresa posted, Jennifer recorded, yeah. and there's sort of a lot of conversation around it being bullying. Yes. So what was your reaction to that video when you first saw it?
Well, I was actually, we were not filming the season yet.
Yeah.
It was something that really happened. And I was in bed going through social media and I saw somebody make reference to it. So I checked it out and then like 100 people sent it to me and it was really mean. And the reason that I say it's bullying is because if my children ever made a video where they were imitating somebody at school and they put it on their social media for everyone to laugh at with them, I would go bananas. And I don't think anyone would dispute that that's bullying. And just because you're an adult doesn't make it any different. You have right. to be a role model for your children. So that's why, you know, that I thought it was bullying.
So you were a victim of bullying growing up yourself.
Yes.
And, you know, comparing it to the children, we do see over the course of a couple episodes this season, Jennifer does kind of come around. She has a conversation with her daughter, and her daughter basically is like, you know what? That was pretty much bullying. Mm-hmm. So when she came to you to finally apologize, it was a bit of a roundabout apology, but she did end up apologizing. So did you appreciate her finally coming to that realization that it was bullying?
I think you're going to see that. Well, she does do that. However, that's not the end of the story. Mm-hmm. You know, there's more. So it's like, how many times can you really accept someone's apology? When is it sincere? If you're going to keep doing something, is it really sincere? So
right.
yeah, she realized it was bullying, but then I'm not so sure she learned from that experience. Yeah. So we'll see.
Well, it's like actions speak louder than words. So you can apologize, exactly. but are you going to act on that?
Exactly.
So we also see when you guys get to Jamaica, mm-hmm. you go out to dinner and Jennifer also, kind of throws Dolores under the bus and basically reveals like Dolores doesn't consider you a friend.
Right.
At that point, did you consider Dolores a friend of yours?
I did actually. I thought that, you know, not a best friend, but
right.
I thought that Dolores and I were very, you know, we're very friendly at the very least. I mean, like, we had spoken on the phone numerous times. My husband, who's in finance, had helped out her son. We worked with each other on some charity things. Like, we were friends. I had no reason to believe we weren't friends.
Yeah.
And I think that even though we were in a little bit of an argument, I think that it escalated tenfold when that was revealed to me.
Right.
You know, it hurts to find out that somebody you think of as a friend doesn't think of you that way.
Yeah. And what did you think about Jennifer revealing that? Like, was that...
I wasn't surprised. I mean, I think that oftentimes she has no filter. And so, honestly, very little that comes out of her mouth surprises me anymore.
Right. Yeah. So you've been very open about your experiences with an eating disorder. Mm-hmm. And throughout some of this trip, the women are kind of hinting, like, is something up with Jackie? Is something up with Jackie? She's not having a snack or whatever. Did you realize that those conversations were happening
about
you? No,
actually, this is the first time that I'm hearing it.
Oh, right. Okay. So, yeah. You know, we see kind of off camera, they kind of make references.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, when you got there, do you feel like you have to sort of prove yourself to them?
Yeah. I feel like people are always watching what I'm eating.
Right.
Because, and let me tell you how many times I've been out to dinner with other women where they're like, you know what? I'm just not hungry tonight. I'm just going to drink. And like, I never question it. Like, there are times you're just not hungry. I eat enough for my body, but I'm not a huge snacker. And just because you're sitting in front of, you know, between meals in front of a whole load of snacks and you're picking, if I'm not, it doesn't mean that I have an eating disorder. And that's why I'm always defensive. And that's why I always feel watched.
Right.
And, you know, sometimes it's really uncomfortable for me.
I mean, it makes total sense.
Yeah.
I mean, it feels like you're always kind of on the defense
and
you know people are watching
yeah.
you. So mm-hmm. I understand that. I want to talk a little bit about the kids' birthday party. You throw a party and there's a little bit of shade because, you know, Jennifer has this big basketball, you know, court in her house and she's like, she throws a little shade. Basically being like, this is not quite the level of a party, but
right.
like, it's a kid's party.
It's a kid's party. And I said to my kids, what do you want? And I fulfilled every wish. I mean, the truth is, it's a party from 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock. my main priority was not feeding the parents who are dropping their kids off, you know? So I did have like some food in my kitchen for the parents, but like no one's really going there for their like main meal of the day. It was all about the kids. I throw the party completely myself. I'm not like hiring a party planner to come in. Like, this is a labor of love. Right. I want to make sure my kids love it. And like, you're an 11-year-old boy. What do you want? You want pizza. You want your best friends. You want some ballin' and you want cake, right?
Yeah.
And that's what they got. And everyone had the best time except her because she was so worried about, you know, what will impress people. So, see, I'm not worried about keeping up with the Joneses.
Yeah. Oh, and I like the moment, too, with you and Melissa where you're like, look at our kids. They get along so well. And it's sort of like you see the contrast with Jennifer and her kids. Like, they're kind of expecting.
You know, and her kids are really nice, but, like, I think maybe they were expecting, like, she throws a different party than I throw.
Right, right. Listen, yeah.
To each their own.
It's very true.
Not my style.
Right. Well, congratulations on being published in, what is it, Good Housekeeping.
Good Housekeeping, yeah.
Yes, that's so awesome.
That was a goal publication for me, and I've been writing for them more and more, so.
Do you have a next goal for your writing?
I always have goals, yeah. I mean, ultimately, you know, the New York Times, Washington Post. So it's just a matter of time. Like, I have to find time to sit down and write because I still have my newspaper column.
Right.
So I'm always writing that. I'm working on something new right now for Good Housekeeping. I would like to get into some really big national newspapers.
Okay,
eventually.
We're putting it out there. We're putting
it out putting
there
it
right
out there. You
now.
Hear that, editors?
What was the fan reaction like after you published the article about gender disappointment?
I got a lot of people sending me direct messages saying, oh my God, I feel this too. No one talks about it. Thank you for writing this. One of the reasons I think that I was so comfortable on the show is because I've always been comfortable putting out opinions that might not be the most popular or that people keep secret. And I'm not scared to do that. So I loved that people, you know, were reaching out to me, even if it was privately, and telling me that they felt the same way and they're happy for it. Look, I mean, I say very clearly in there that it does not have anything to do with how much I love my children. I worship my all four of my children, but I mean, my twin sons, my firstborn sons, I mean, like, nothing holds a candle to them, you know? So it has nothing to do with my love for them, but it was a very real feeling for me.
Yeah. Well, and it's also, I mean, it's brave of you to do that because you do know in this world of social media, you're on a television show, like, there's so much opportunity for, like, trolls and haters to come after you.
But, and they do come.
Oh, of course.
They come. Yeah. And I try not to let it affect me, but it did affect one thing. I got called a lot of names about my lips last season. So I went and got my lips filled, and I'm very happy with it.
Well, you look great.
I'm thrilled with it. I love my new lips.
What were they saying?
Oh, the paper cut lips.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
They never stop.
But you know what? It's all good. Now I have beautiful lips.
You do.
Now I have pillow lips.
Okay, let's go back to Jamaica. So I want to talk about the housing situation while you guys are there.
I wasn't upset about that.
You weren't upset about
it. No.
But did you think it was a little bit like
shady? Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that certain cast members will do anything to like make sure I know that they don't like me. And that's okay because I love who I love and I know who loves me back.
Yeah.
And if you're going to stick me and Margaret in a villa away from the crazy, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that.
Do you think like the directions or lack thereof were intentional where they were like, we're in 1001? And then no further explanation.
Yeah, I just think that, like, anything to make sure I know my place with them, they're going to do. So I don't pay it much mind.
What did you think about Margaret's comment where she kind of mentioned something about, you know, the age of the rum and it was 21?
Yeah, I thought it was funny, but, you know, I knew that was going to get her in trouble. Like, when she said it, I was like, oh. No.
I mean, I think we all expected Teresa to, like, react to that, and she didn't, which I was a little surprised
by. Well, according to Melissa, who's known her a lot longer than I have, it takes her, like, a good 24 hours to, like, let something marinate in her head, and then she realizes that she's really pissed about it.
Okay, well, you know, I mean, that's not a bad thing, right? Reflecting for 24 hours. I mean, I guess it depends on how you end up reacting is really what it's about. So where are you in Dolores today?
We're good.
Yeah.
We're good.
Okay.
Yeah. Once Dolores and I really sat down and settled things and discussed with each other and like found out where each other's heads were, we were able to move on and we were really able to strengthen our friendship.
Good.
Yeah.
So I think we're friends.
Right.
But I don't want to say for sure because last time that bit me in the butt.
That could change.
Yeah.
Well, you guys just shot the after show.
Right.
So how did that go?
That was really fun.
Yeah.
I like the after show. Yeah. And I was with Margaret and Melissa.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like sisters, the three of us. And like we go out after. So like. Really fun.
Right. Yeah. Well, I do have to ask because we did speak to Melissa already about the after show.
Okay.
And something about oral sex comes up.
Yes. That Jewish girls don't give. Am I allowed to curse right now?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Hell yeah.
All right. So Jewish girls don't give blowjobs. So that is like that's just like a stereotypical funny statement that like I've heard many people say. But
right.
In my case, it happens to be true. Not because I'm Jewish. I just particularly don't enjoy doing that.
Yeah.
But yeah, that has been said. Have you heard that? Haven't you?
I have heard that?
Yes. Right. That was not just me. Like Jewish girls don't like to give blowjobs.
Understandable, I guess.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, you know, it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving's coming up.
Yes.
What do you guys do for Thanksgiving? Are there any traditions that you guys have?
Yeah. Well, my husband and I, ever since we got married,
mm-hmm.
and we've been married over 13 years, we go 1 year to my family, 1 year to his family, because it's just too hard to get all the family members that like each side would want all in one place.
Yeah.
So this year we are going to my husband's family, which is really special this year in particular because my husband's father was on a kidney waiting list for 2 years, and he really didn't feel good for the past 2 years, and he got a kidney 3 weeks ago, and
wow.
He's feeling really good.
Oh, that's awesome.
So we have a lot to celebrate this year.
Yeah.
So, no, we just, you know, not too many traditions because we're always, like, going somewhere new.
Yep.
But as long as I have my husband and my children with me and I'm with people I love, like, that's all I could ask for.
Yeah.
I'm truly am a thankful person. I feel very blessed, and I'm appreciative of everything I have. And so anytime I'm just with the people I love on Thanksgiving, I feel really lucky.
Yeah. So you never have to host. You're never the one who's like, oh, my God,
I hosted a few years ago in my house. Okay. I don't cook. I make sure everybody knows that. I do a mean job of ordering in, though. And
right.
And I'm a great entertainer. So I love having people over.
Awesome. I have to ask about Danielle Staub because
yeah.
we see you guys go on the obstacle course. Actually,
I didn't go.
Invited.
I was excluded.
Okay, well, so
which,
far,
you know what? It was raining and cold, and I was not upset.
Right.
I mean, I was upset about being excluded, but I didn't have FOMO. I didn't.
I don't blame you because,
yeah.
I mean, things blow up at the end of that. You
yeah.
know, I mean, obviously, Margaret and Danielle. What is your take on Danielle? Because at this point, it seems like everyone except for Teresa is kind of drinking the Kool-Aid or is not drinking the Kool-Aid.
Right. Right. I think that Danielle is a unique person. I don't want to speak so poorly of her, but I think that there's a lot of issues with her. She flips out this season.
Yeah.
And like, it's just not good. Yeah. It's not good to be around her.
What is it that you think is kind of blocking Teresa's view?
I think that Teresa seems to root for the underdog. So
mm-hmm.
if there's one person who like everyone doesn't like, I think she feels the need to stick up for them.
Yeah.
I think that Teresa also, listen, Teresa's been on, she's the OG. She's been on the show since the beginning and she is, you know, a big part of the show. So I think she thinks that like, if she likes somebody, they stay. And if she doesn't, they go.
Mm-hmm.
And even though that's been disproven with me, I think that she feels like, well, everyone wants her to go. I want her to stay, so she's going to stay.
Yeah.
And I think she's proving a point with that. But I also think that, like, when she's a friend to somebody, she's a loyal friend.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Jackie. We appreciate
thank
you coming
you.
In.
Thank you. Love being here.
Happy second season.
Thanks.
Real Housewives of Orange County.
Okay, so this episode, at least the beginning part of it, really proves more money, more problems, because Shannon Bedore is in like two different lawsuits right now. Well, one lawsuit at least, again, like, you know, with Jim Bellino, and then these legal issues that she's going through
yeah,
with David.
The divorce lawsuit.
I'm just like, damn.
Yeah.
That's really stressful.
The Jim Bellino one, I don't even know what to say except that they talked at the reunion about it,
mm-hmm.
and the amount of money they have spent on this is unfathomable.
Well, just for lawyer's fees? Because they haven't paid him anything, right?
Correct. Just
okay.
the lawyer's fees to fight it.
Well, because so he's basically, he was suing them for
defamation,
which it was because they went on a podcast and said something.
I just think Kelly getting involved in the lawsuit in any capacity, which is, you know, her reaching out to Jim Bellino and saying, I'll be a character witness for you.
Yeah.
So crossing a line. And I mean, Don't get me wrong. I understand that she thought Tamara was bringing up a rumor that she pushed her mom down the stairs. Mm-hmm. If that had been the case, yes, I see where her anger is coming from, but that wasn't the case.
Right.
Well, Vicky brought it up.
And just to get involved at that point, like, the only reason you should get involved in a lawsuit is if it's, like, brought to you or you're asked by the court to come in. Like, don't complicate matters in your life any more than you need to.
And honestly, the one way to sever a friendship is to come for someone's money.
Mm-hmm.
And if anything she did has resulted in them paying more lawyers' fees, you don't come back from that.
Right, right. Yeah, it's all very messy, and they get into it when they get to Miami a bit.
Miami.
I mean, we see them poolside. Everyone's supposed to be relaxing, fun times in the sun. But the whole issue with the lawsuits come up. Right at the end of the episode, Tamara throws some daggers at Kelly.
Go suck some more dick for money, Kelly. That's what you do best.
Damn. Before we get to Miami, we learn, which we already do know, Vicky's engaged.
Right. Okay, so on the Real Housewives of Orange County after show at BravoTV.com, Tamara said that she was shocked Vicky didn't film it. She was like, Vicky has shown so much of her life. Why wouldn't she have it on camera? That's which I think was a lot of people's reaction.
That's a good point.
But also, if you're not going to make me a full housewife,
right?
Maybe I'm not going to give that to you.
That is true. I mean, the way she told the story was like, you know, we got home, we got out our PJs. Like, it was very intimate.
Well, that's the other thing on the after show. I feel like Tamara a little bit threw shade at the proposal. She said what Steve had been telling her was he was planning this whole big thing. But then what actually happened was a very casual at-home situation.
Perhaps Vicky had a little bit more control over her own engagement than she's willing to reveal.
Mm.
Even Emily mentions it in the episode. Like, damn, how much insurance has she been selling? Because
she just bought herself that ring.
She just bought herself a ring. I was like, yes, Emily.
Damn, Vicky sold a lot of insurance to buy herself a ring.
Happy for Vicky. Great for Steve. Best of luck to you all. I felt bad in that moment when they're all hanging out in her backyard because Shannon walks in basically from divorce court. And then sits down and it's sort of everyone's there kind of celebrating the engagement, you know? And Gina kind of mentions it, oh, full circle, let's toast to that or whatever. But it's just really crazy to see these different extremes existing at the same time in these friend groups, you know? Just, oh.
Okay, so I have a legitimate question.
Yeah.
So Shannon and David, they finally signed the divorce papers. The settlement is decided. And she's not saying how much she got, but they're showing a headline of an article that says she got like $1.3 million.
Yeah.
Which I was like, well, that's not a ton. Like, considering their life that they had been living, I don't feel that that's a huge lump sum. But were they saying that she also was getting $10,000 a month in spousal support?
I think it was child support. I can't be sure, but I thought it was child support because her kids are still underage. At this
Jesus.
Point. I know. Well, and even she mentions in her interview, like, I had thought I was going to get up here. And then I was told maybe I'd be getting down here like nothing. And then she was like, and I got somewhere in between. So if that $1.3 million was somewhere in between, like, what was the high number she was thinking?
But she didn't even say in between. Her hand suggested it was closer to the bottom.
Closer
one.
To the nothing. Yeah. So if $1.3 million is closer to zero than it is to the amount you thought you were going to get. I'm like, damn.
Also, am I jaded just watching these shows that I'm like, $1.3 million is nothing?
I mean, I think to a lot of people, it's not nothing, but I feel like you said, their lifestyle, what we know of Shannon and everything in Orange County, whatever, it's like, it's not what she was expecting.
Right.
I don't know. It's still a lot of money. We got a Brianna cameo in this episode.
Yes.
Nice to see her around again.
Yes, she's looking great.
She's looking great.
She and Ryan do seem happy.
Yeah.
I honestly was worried for their marriage, just from a fan perspective. It just seemed like they weren't on the same page, and he just was angry and not happy, and she was stressed. So, like, it was nice to see that I think that they found their footing.
Yeah, I mean, 8 years married, 2 kids.
Yeah.
They're in North Carolina now. Yeah. She's getting great care.
Yeah.
Health-wise. So I think maybe leaving Orange County and going on to this new lifestyle has been good for them.
Yeah.
But it was nice to see her on our screens again.
All right. Can we get to Miami?
Yes.
I don't disagree with what Kelly said about women of a certain age shouldn't have extensions, which is not age shaming. I'm just saying I think sometimes you don't want to see someone from the back and think one thing and then they turn around and you go, oh.
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 Yeah.
That said, leave Shannon alone.
Right.
Like, her hair was not even crazy. It was just a different look.
And you need to cut that hair too. That looks like
You know what? You know what, Kelly? Can you just be nice for a second?
That
like, grab my hair?
No, I didn't grab your hair.
And you said it looks like
No, because we're talking about blonde hair. Yeah, it does, actually.
I'm trying to be different because I'm in Miami, Kelly. But you know what? I'm so glad you told me I look like
Yeah, it does. Sorry I offended you. Just trying to make you look better. She's like 60. You have to cut it short.
Stop! Stop!
Gina, there's a little bit of validity in what she said.
Right, right. And I think Gina knows it at this
and,
point,
and
too.
And said so.
Gina embraces the fact that she just, like, had a crisis moment and bleached her hair too much.
Yeah.
I'm all about change.
No, this
and, like,
is not a good one.
That blonde is, like, ridiculous. You gotta get rid of that f***ing do.
It's not the best. No,
it's the f***ing worst.
But Shannon's not really embracing this feedback. I mean, Kelly could have delivered it in a better way, but you know, Shannon was rocking this kind of high pony extension thing. And we know that that's been made very popular by like Ariana Grande at this point. So, yeah, it is a bit more of a youthful associated look at this point in our lives. But they're in Miami. I feel like Miami, it's like there are no rules, you
right.
know? And Bronwyn kind of explains that, like, oh, when I lived here, I used to dress like a Vegas stripper, like whatever. I mean, we're not in Orange County anymore. We're in Miami. They're out to like 2 a.m. partying. Let Shannon have some extensions, I guess, you know? Just let her have it. What did you think about when they are out at the club? Vicky, like, demanding that Tamara like relax and calm down and get off of there and stop dancing like that, and you're a grandma. We've seen her do this a couple times.
And Tamara says it in this episode that Vicky is a chameleon in terms of who she's dating.
Mm-hmm.
And now Vicky is acting like she's never danced on a table.
No, it's true. I mean, it's hard to watch, and I've talked to my mom about it a bit because my mom loves Orange County. She loves Vicky. And one of the things she loves about Vicky was that crazy behavior that she saw for so many years, because it was just like, that was who Vicky was. Like, she was still a professional, she was a mom, but she still knew how to whoop it up. You know, like, that was the whole thing. So it's just kind of like a bummer to watch her be so, ugh.
But I did see Tamara's panties.
Yeah, oh, I saw some things. Well, in the preview for next week's episode, we have some kind of medical emergency. Let's place bets on who we think it is. A lot of them, Vicky tends to fall a lot.
Yeah.
Do we think it's Vicky? She tends to fall and scream or have some kind of medical emergency very often.
Uh-huh.
I'm placing bets on Vicky.
Yeah, it's definitely Vicky.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Let's do Rose and Thorn.
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
What was your rose?
Oh, my rose was absolutely from Real Housewives of Orange County. It was Shannon's daughter Stella's t-shirt that had a photo of a motorcycle, and it said, put something exciting between your legs. I was like, oh my God, is that my daughter?
Well, and you know that if it hadn't been Shannon's daughter saying that, Shannon would have been like, oh yes, I love that. Because we know that edgy leather jacket wearing side
concert
of Shannon.
Going.
Right. And she was just like, had to be a mom in that moment.
But I do want that shirt.
You deserve it. My rose was from Real Housewives of Atlanta. And it was at the end of the episode when Nene storms out of her dinner with Marlo. And I had forgotten that they were in New York. So they were dining at the Boathouse in Central Park. And Nene goes to flee on a pedicab. And Marlo's like chasing her down the street. And the guy's just like pedaling Nene away. And she's like, take me to the main road. I was just like, what? What kind of escape is this?
An hilarious one.
Such a good moment. Oh my God.
Nene, do not leave me. Nene, are you really leaving me now, Lord? Oh, wow. Really, Leeks?
All right, what was your thorn?
Well, I'm going to cheat a little bit. Mine is from last week because we didn't get a chance to talk about it. But at Real Housewives of Dallas, the whole end, because here was my thing. I hated the way that I felt Carrie and Deandra ganged up on Leanne. And had Leanne just kept her mouth shut, I think that everyone would have been on her side, right, or at least a big majority of people. Because the way that they were attacking her business and just sort of harping, I didn't think was a joke. I didn't think it was meant to be a joke. But then Leanne makes that, you know, comment about Carrie, and it's just so not okay.
I know. I know.
You want to be passive aggressive and let me take it, but you don't have the balls to be courageous. Come on, Mexican. I thought you were all Mexican and strong.
That moment was really uncomfortable to watch at dinner. They just kept drilling at home. And Leanne had said a few problematic things throughout the course of the day in Thailand. And then that just sealed the deal.
Yeah.
Rough.
What was your thorn?
My thorn is from Married to Medicine. And it's at the end of this episode where Scott walks out on Dr. Contessa mid-interview because they're talking about the issues that they have been talking about for a while this season, which is her going back to school and then giving up on school because Scott felt overwhelmed by the kids or whatever. So seeing him walk out in the interview part of it is just like, it really drills it home. Like, damn, like this is a real issue they're dealing with. And she gets so upset and just starts crying. And I'm like, oh my God, it just made me feel really bad for her.
Yeah. Next week, we have interviews with Ashton Pinar from Below Deck and Quad Webb from Married to Medicine. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 9. And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long, not just Thursdays. You can find us on Instagram at Bravo Daily Dish.
And on Twitter at Bravo TV. Just don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm everywhere at Eric J. Mack. That's E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife. You can ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out.
You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy, miss me, kiss.